on Melbourne's home of sport. This is Whateley, Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. The Doncaster BMW annual demonstrator event is on now.
It's 18 minutes to 11. There's some good stuff on the text this morning. Keep them coming, 0433 98 11 16. And we'll have some fun when Bob Murphy comes into the studio in the next hour. The J-League season has just completed, and thus Ange Postecoglou has finished his first year in charge of Yokohama F Marinos. We started the journey with him on the program in January, so let's close with him now. Ange, welcome back to 11:16 SEN.
Thanks, Jared. Yeah, good morning. January seems a long time ago, mate. It's been a lovely year.
What do you make of the passage of the first year in Japan?
Yeah, look, it's, as I said, it's been a long year, challenging year, but immensely enjoyed it, to be honest. I guess a lot of the challenges I kind of brought up to myself with what I was trying to do in terms of the team and the way we played, and just being in a different environment, different culture, the communication challenges we have on a daily basis. I've really enjoyed it. I found it really stimulating, I guess the intent going into it was to try and experience something different, and I certainly have.
It had ebbs and flows. In the end, Ange, did you end up dicing with relegation?
It was a funny one because it was just a weird season in general in terms of the J-League. It was a really even competition. And, when you look at the final table, we ended up same points as the team that's now in the playoff. We kind of made sure of our sort of presence in J1 probably with about two games to go because of our goal difference. We were the second highest scorers in the league. Pretty much made us safe. We would have to be, we would have had to lose by seven goals in the last game. So we kind of knew we were safe. But again, that's another element of it. In the A-League, obviously, we don't have promotion relegation. It was interesting to see just how people reacted, not just within our club, but, around the league. And every game on that last day was just ridiculous. It had an edge on it. The team that ended up in the 16th spot, the playoff spot, ended up there with their captain scoring an own goal in the 92nd minute. It was devastating for them. And literally there was tears on the last day, either for teams that, fell into that relegation spot or teams that knew they survived. So it was interesting because those celebrations you usually see at the top of the table at the end of the season, particularly in our codes, but there's no relegation in all our codes. But, obviously in codes where there is a relegation, the emotions at either end of the table are equally either exhilarating or devastating.
Your team made the cup final in the midst of the year. What was that experience like? How big was that event?
Yeah, no, it was massive, and it was a fantastic experience. They've got two cups here. They've got the Levine Cup, which is ostensibly the League Cup for them, and then there's the Emperor's Cup, which is the FA Cup, and that's got its semi-finals this weekend. And, there were two major cup competitions, and the weekend we played, they cancelled all the other games, so it's a standalone game, and they do, they make it a big event. They play it at the National Stadium, so it's Armour. And, it was a great occasion. We didn't play well in the first half. It kind of indicative of our year. We were just really inconsistent all year. And it was the same in the final. We didn't play well in the first half. And then second half threw everything at them. But it was one of those games where we just couldn't seem to get a goal and get back into the game. So, disappointing with the way it ended in terms of not having the success. But a great occasion. And like I said, indicative of our season, I think... inconsistent is probably the biggest factor that came out of it. When we were good, we were pretty good, and when we were bad, we weren't that great. So
So you had a really good patch and then tailed. So what will you take out of this season to set you up for next?
I think from my perspective, it's pretty indicative of wherever I've been, to be honest. In terms of when I initially get into a place, always the key drive for me is the way we play, and it was a major shift for this group of players and for the club, to be honest. I mean, I think we scored the most amount of goals in a year that the club has in all its history. So it's traditionally always been a consistent club, but one that's built on sort of fairly defensive and fairly pragmatic approach. So I've kind of flipped it all on its head, and I knew that with that we're going to get some sort of extremes in form, and some of the players weren't going to fit in it. I knew that, but you know, you kind of, when you go first in, you inherit all that. So part of the process is, I think we've laid a good foundation. Players, by the end of it, really wanted to play this way and understand sort of what's required for next year. And also, you know, I guess this transfer window gives me an opportunity to bring some players in that will suit the way we play. It's a tough comp, that's for sure. And without a salary cap, the top clubs, Vissel Kobe, who weren't in the top club, ended up mid-table, signed Andre Iniesta in the middle of the year, and now they've signed David Villa. So they've literally got three World Cup winners in their starting lineup with Lukas Podolski. And so there's some big cash being thrown around, and that means they've got some good quality players. But look, I'm bullish about it. I always am. I think the first year is the most difficult, and I feel good about going into next year.
David Villa, I think at one stage, had been linked to your team. So obviously that's not the case.
No. I mean, obviously, people sort of, with him being aligned with, the City Group and leaving New York City, and we also have an alignment with the City Group, I think people kind of put two and two together, but two and two added up to too many millions for us at the moment. So, he's gone, he's joined Andre Iniesta. Oh, look, it's exciting for the league, I think. The quality of players they can attract here, because they don't have a salary cap, is a bit of an eye-opener, and it just really challenges you every week. It's an 18-team comp, and every weekend you kind of know you're going to face some quality players and you're going to have to play well. So I think that's a positive. They've changed the rules next year. Every club's allowed now 5 foreigners. They're really digging into this, building the J-League into the elite competition here in Asia, and yeah, that means that the clubs that do have the money, it's going to be a strong competition.
Will you look to recruit players out of Australia, Ange?
Look, it's a little bit of a tricky one, because now, as I said, they've changed the foreigner rule to 5 foreigners. Now, this year it was 3 foreigners, plus you could have one from Asia. And that made sort of Australian players or other players in Asia fairly attractive propositions. But now it's just 5 foreigners straight, so the Asians don't get an exemption. So, for us, we're looking at, top quality players, and if I was to look at an Australian, that would be a regular national team player, and they're kind of tricky to get out sometimes. I think for what we need at the moment, I'm probably in the same boat as the Socceroos. We need a really good goal scorer, and as we've seen with the Socceroos, that isn't quite there yet. So, from our perspective, we'll probably be looking elsewhere.
And you were never far from debate around the way your team's played, as Raw Victory Socceroos. Is when you're in Japan, so, and you mentioned the language barrier, are you aware of any debate around the way that you'd like to play, or are you blissfully unaware of it?
Blissfully unaware. I mean, that's part of it, I guess, the weird sense of where we're exactly at. There's the culture here where our supporters are just fantastic, unbelievable, but supporters across the league, I think I mentioned to you before, they're just very big on respect here. So we drive in with our team bus, and we've seen images of other team buses driving to grounds around the world in recent times. And when we drive in into an opposition ground, the opposition supporters are actually outside the ground applauding us, which is kind of weird at the start when you realise, you're thinking that they realise it's us, but I know it's our bus. So, that runs through the league. So even with us and through our sort of bad patches, the supporters were still so very supportive. So you come away and you're thinking, well, our results haven't been great. We're kind of stuck in the bottom half of the ladder. I should be copping heat here. Am I? And maybe if I searched, through the internet and try to get some translation over what was happening, I may be able to find. But in terms of direct, that direct sort of feedback you get as a coach when things aren't going well, I could blissfully not be aware of any of it, because the supporters are fantastic. The press seem to be very kind, or I didn't really buy too much into it or reading too much into it. So you kind of think, well, where's the competitive juices going to run from apart from your own sort of drive. But look, I think the general consensus was I kind of stated a few things at the start of the year. We want to be attacking, we want to score goals, and we kind of hit those markers, which I thought, you know, which probably gave me a little bit of grace in terms of the results. But I've got no doubt that, you know, the club would be expecting, you know, a better results next year in terms of final position. I certainly am, and to bring some success. But there is a general respectfulness with the way they deal things, which kind of gives you a little bit of a bubble of sort of security around you, if you want that. I mean, I was almost seeking somebody to give me the middle finger at some point, just so we could get a bit fired up, you know.
And has the Citigroup signed you to an extension?
Yeah, so I agreed probably a couple of weeks ago to stay on for one more year. Yeah, I had a good chat with the club. It wasn't so much a Citigroup, because they're sort of, while they're aligned, they're a little bit of distancing. For me, more important was, you know, the people who were in the club every day, and you know, I had a good chat to them. And they're really keen to keep going down this road. I mean, they've been in the J League for a long time. They haven't won a title for 14 years. They haven't won a trophy for 5 years, and they just felt they wanted a different approach, and they could see that this is certainly a different approach, and they saw that there were difficulties this year, but they want to continue down that path. And that was important for me, because I said, look, if you want something different, if you want to go back to the way you were, then I'm not your man for it. I'm going to continue to sort of head down this track of playing this kind of football. But, you know, they were really keen to do it, and the players were. So, yeah, I was pleased. You know, like I said, I've signed on for another year, so we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited by it. You know, I think, as I said, if we can just bridge the gap between our best and our worst, I think we'll be really competitive and do some exciting things next year.
The big international rumour, Ange, was that Greece was trying to sign you to be the national coach. Did you get that approach?
Look, there were some initial discussions. All through the year, there was other things that sort of came across my desk. I wasn't ready to leap back into international football straight away, to be honest. Whilst, you know, obviously being born in Greece, it kind of would be an attractive proposition and going back to Europe. But at this point of time, you know, I'm enjoying the club football. I kind of know already what international football is all about in terms of, you know, how it affects you from both the day-to-day experience and your coaching. And I just wasn't ready to leap back into it. So it never really got too far down the track, to be honest, because, as I said, I think for me, I think at some point I'll jump back into international football, but right now I think club football's where I get the most stimulation, and to be honest, I kind of like to achieve something before I move on. I rarely last too long in any one place, but I've usually had some success before I've moved on, so that's kind of the key driver here now.
And it's been great to share the season at intervals with you, and enjoy your time back in Australia during the break.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy the summer. No worries.